the woman I came to love and the children I came to know. He paused and flashed Regis an ear-to-ear smile, his white teeth shining within the frame of his yellow beard. And the grandchildren, he said with great enthusiasm.
They are all gone now?
Regis asked somberly. Wulfgar nodded and looked back out at the lake, but his expression was not one of loss or sadness or even resignation. To warriors rest, so I must believe. And if that promise holds truth, then there they will be when I am no more again, when the road of my grave is straight to the halls. What are a few decades of delay against the hopes of the eternity of godly reward?
If?
Regis said, picking up on that curious reference. They had all been dead, of course, and through the power of a goddess had returned to life. Could there be any doubt for any of them now regarding an afterlife? He studied Wulfgar carefully as the big man shrugged and answered, I do not know what lies on the other side of the cave beneath the waters of the pond, any more than I knew the reality of life after death before my journey to that strange forest.
Yet you died and went there by the power of a goddess.
Perhaps. Regis stared at him incredulously. Who can know the truth of it? Wulfgar asked. Perhaps it is all a wizard's trick, yes? A magical weave of deception to twist us and turn us to his desires.
You cannot believe that.
Wulfgar laughed, took a deep draw, and almost managed a smoke ring, and one accompanied by only a minor fit of coughing. It does not matter, Wulfgar said absently. And only when I came to appreciate that truth, that I could not know the end of the road through the cave at the bottom of Iruladun's pond. He paused again and seemed to be fighting for the right words. It seemed to Regis that his friend had found an epiphany beyond his ability to explain it. Whatever the gods have planned for me after I am truly and fully dead is theirs to determine, Wulfgar went on. Only when I came to truly appreciate that was I able to stop asking myself what Tempest wanted from me.
And ask instead what course was best for you,
Regis finished for him. Wulfgar looked down at him and smiled once more. What an ungrateful son I would be. What a foul friend indeed had I gone through the other way and dived into that pond.
None of us would have judged you.
Wulfgar's expression reflected sincerity as he nodded his agreement. Yet more confirmation that I was right to return, he said. And his next smoke ring actually looked like a ring. Regis wasted no time in sending a smaller ring right through it.
I wasn't coming, Brunner admitted to Catibri and Drizzt.
Catibri sat by the drow's bed as Drizzt leaned back, half sitting, half lying, still weak from his wounds. The dwarf shook his hairy head. His beard was growing in thick once more, and paced around the small room as if it were a cage. The admission didn't really shake Drizzt, but he noted the surprise on Catibri's face.
Reginald Roundshield, guard captain of King Emerus himself, at your service,
Brunner said with an almost graceful bow. It's an incredible tale, Drizzt replied, shaking his head and considering the adventures his four friends had shared with him in the last couple of days. Regis had taken center stage in those bardic games, and if only a portion of what the halfling had claimed was true, then he had lived a thrilling second life indeed.
You, all of you, lived as children of others, and with full recollection of your life before. I can hardly believe it, though I do not doubt you.
Knocked me brains about near to Batty, aye, and took me to the drink it did,
Brunner said with an exaggerated wink. King Emerus, Drizzt mused.
Citadel Felbar?
Aye, the same.
And how fares the good king?
Brunner shrugged.
All the land's on edge, and all the land's smelling with the stench of orcs.
That is why you almost turned aside from your course here and your pledge to Mialiki,
Catibri reasoned. And once more Drizzt noted a bit of surprise and even a bit of annoyance in her reaction to Brunner's claim. Brunner started to answer, but held back and seemed to Drizzt to be weighing his words very carefully, uncharacteristically so.
You just said, Catibri prompted.
Brunner waved a hand to silence her.
I came here to fight for me friend, so let's find the fight and be done with it.
He looked to Catibri as he finished, as if expecting her to lead them right out on the hunt.
What fight?
Drizzt asked.
Who can know?
Catibri answered, speaking to Brunner, not Drizzt.
We have done as the goddess bade us, and had we not,
I would have died up there on Kelvin's cairn that night,
Drizzt interrupted. He took Catibri's hand, and she looked into his eyes and nodded. His wounds would have proven mortal, she had already told him, as she had explained that Mialiki had guided her and the others to that particular spot on that particular night.
Then we're done here, and I've a road to be walking,
Brunner declared. You intend to leave us? Drizzt asked.
Oh, yourself's coming with me, don't ye doubt,
the dwarf replied.
Got something I need to fix, something yourself needs to fix with me.
Many arrows.
The same.
Drizzt shook his head helplessly.
There is no war, he said quietly. Surely that is a good thing.
There'll be war, Brunner argued. Soon enough, if it ain't started already, don't ye doubt. In me days with Felbar, then with Mithril Hall.
You returned to Mithril Hall?
The other two asked in unison. Brunner stopped his pacing finally and took a deep and steadying breath.
Aye, but they're not for knowing me as anything but Reginald Roundshield. Little RR, as Emerus's boys called me. Spent the better part of 79 there, and I'm telling ye true. War's coming to the Silver Marches, and coming soon if it ain't already on.
You cannot know that, Drizzt insisted. It was averted before, and so it might be again.
No! Brunner shouted and stamped his boot. No more!